B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
Tom, a lot of times during the game, you will speak to the players. Last night you were caught on camera speaking, perhaps yelling at your guys. Lip readers were able to point out that you were saying, listen up, we got to be quicker, faster, more explosive. What was it that you saw at that moment that led you to have to do that?
Well, I do that quite a bit in practice. I know they don't always pick it up and, you know, when I do speak, but I speak a lot in meetings and practice field, certainly in the games and the huddle, and just trying to communicate what I see.
Yeah, that's not what was happening there, because players he was pissed at weren't in camera shot anyway. I don't know if they were in earshot or not. But it was Dorsett and Edelman that were sitting next to him on the bench. The kids were nowhere to be found. He was ostensibly yelling at Meyer for not extending a route on a broken play, on this play before. So, again, Jacoby Meyer's fault. Brady was pissed at him, but he was yelling at Dorsett and Edelman, or venting to those guys. So I don't know how that helps anybody, just to sit there and bitch. Three series into the game, when you threw the pick on the series before and you missed Dorsett on the previous possession, wide open the back of the end zone. I know those are both the receiver's fault too, but good Lord, the game just started. Greg Bedard joins us in our Town Fair Tire Studio series brought to you by Jarvis Ford. Has John and Michael Jarvis like they? Honesty, integrity, and family. It's not just how we do business, it's who we are. Jarvis Ford, just off Route 2 in Ayer. So Greg went and looked at the film. He has a good post on Boston Sports Journal right now, really sort of showing you how most of these missed opportunities were the fault of the receivers, whether you agree or disagree. It's an interesting look at it. So we're talking about that today quite a bit. And what, did you have another thought?
One thing I wanted to say, because that brought up something about Brady, that chat on the bench to those receivers. And, you know, what Brady was saying to them is one of the biggest things that I see with Harry and Myers is these guys are not playing with confidence. And I understand why. They're probably getting upbraided by the coaches and Brady, and they're scared of Brady and all that stuff. But I'm sorry. It's 12 games into the season. You're not a rookie anymore. It's time to grow up. These guys got to run their routes with conviction. That's what Brady was talking about.
So why does he say it to them?
He was saying it to them.
I don't think he
was. I mean,
was.
He was yelling down the line, but he was like, hey,
where were those guys?
I don't know.
It felt like he was looking right at Dorsett.
You know, he was, and Dorsett's the same way. They're all pussyfooting their routes all over the place. Like, this is a precision offense. Go out there. You know your route. You know what you're supposed to do. Go do it. Like, stop just pitter-pattering your feet and be faster, explode off the ball, explode out of your cuts. It's that stuff. It's not getting done, and Brady's getting pissed off about it. And I understand, because that's not the way this offense runs.
Okay, I would still say that there were plays there to be made that had nothing to do with that.
I understand.
It had to do with Dorsett not running down the back line at the end, you know, back of the end zone versus squatting in the middle. Or Myers running through an in cut thinking it was man versus squatting in a zone. So they had, what I keep going back to is that it wasn't as simple, it wasn't a matter of them beating their guy one on one. They were beaten. They just couldn't get on the same page with the quarterback. We're in December. There's something wrong with that.
I know. I've given up hope on that part of it. I mean, really, because again, I just don't think that they get it. Either whether it's the receivers, the quarterback, or the ability to connect between the two. And look, Brady obviously knows the offense. I'm not suggesting that Brady doesn't know the offense. I'm just saying it's not working. It hasn't worked in a long time, frankly. It didn't really work last year either.
But I still think it can. I still think it should. And I think they have the talent to make it happen.
On that subject, I agree with you. And, you know, it looks bad now. You know, and we've been here before normally with the defense in you know, even the offense to some degree last year. But there is still a chance. It just takes one good practice all of a sudden for the light bulb to go off. But it's on, you know, really it's on Joe Judge, the receivers coach, who split time between special teams.
Is that a factor?
I think it is. I mean, I think this group of receivers, and I think Joe Judge is an excellent coach. I really do. And I don't know, you know, special teams usually meets at separate times than the position groups.
But how about during the game? The receivers come off the field and Joe Judge has got to watch the punt.
Right, and I'm sure they have an assistant that is helping with that. And I know that they do. You know, whether it's Lombardi or whoever it is. But you know, these guys need a full-time tutor, obviously. And, you know, it's, if they're not running it right, it means you're not coaching it right. And so Joe Judge, Josh McDaniels, Bill Belichick, I made the case that I think Bill needs to get out of the defensive room, because I think we all know by now that Bill's basically the defensive coordinator right now, and he's making a lot of the calls, or at least he's helping put together the menu that Steve Belichick's calling from. Bill needs to get out of the defensive room, and he's got to go straighten out the offensive side. He's got to figure it out, deploy coaches differently, and they do that. They do this from time to time, year to year. But it's time on the – they need an offensive intervention to figure out how they're going to go forward.
Real quick, Greg, we opened the show talking about a bigger picture thing with Brady. Do you think his attitude is at all related to his future? In other words
– yes.
Okay, in what way?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, if he had, you know, in his mind, what he should have gotten, which is like a 3-year contract extension, I think he would be more invested. He would be more patient. He would might maybe spend a little bit more time working with these guys. But because I'm sure he feels screwed over by Belichick, that he wouldn't give him the respect, and this has been going on for years. It's not just this offense. It's been going on this offseason. It's been going on since the Atlanta Super Bowl, when we all thought he was going to get a contract extension and all this stuff, and Garoppolo wasn't trading in the offseason, all that stuff. It's been going on since then. I think Brady's just he's fed up, and so yes, I think it's contributing.
It's a natural reaction, right?
Yes.
You won't commit to me, but you want me to commit to you.
And also all the personnel stuff that I mentioned before about how, you know, the defense has spare veterans all over the place, and Brady can't scrape together one decent veteran receiver.
Do you think that it's another sign that this is it?
No. I'm not ready to go there yet. I mean, I just think Brady, in the heat of things, he might feel a certain way. He goes to Montana or Costa Rica or whatever, maybe he feels a different way before free agency starts.
How about Gasper's point last week in the Globe that Kraft is going to no longer be there to, you know, ride it on the white horse and, you know, come down in Brady's favor over Bill and give him the contract he wants or the situation that he wants, that it's now totally up to Bill, unlike the Garoppolo thing. This one is up to Bill, and Brady no longer has Kraft to lean on. Do you buy that?
I thought that was interesting.
Because that was a little out of nowhere, yeah, like there's a development that something's happened.
I don't know if I 100% believe that, because the Crafts might be sending that signal right now. Or I think Maz had the more accurate take, which is that's what Brady feels. And so his camp is getting it out there. And this is the same stuff with Tom Brady Sr. feels that, you know, Belichick's going to determine the end before Tom, you know, all that stuff. It all feeds into Brady's had this sort of complex about Belichick for years. That's why he was spooked about Garoppolo not being traded in that offseason. And it's still just, and I think Belichick does it to sort of twist the knife and get Brady, give him a little kick in the rear end.
Hasn't worked this year. It hasn't. But the thing with Kraft, I don't think it's a new development. I mean, it's of course new to me, but if you go back to the offseason when they were talking their contract, and Brady sort of half jokingly, but not really, says, hey, you have to go ask Mr. Kraft on that. Like, I think they being the Brady camp, realized then, oh, Robert's not there for us this time. And I think, you know, I think it just all sort of ties together in some way, shape, or form.
I mean, look, he's always gotten that extension, right? He's never gone into the final year. And as much as he's Tom Brady, he is human. So some guys do better with that free agent year thing, and some guys don't. And maybe he's one of the ones that doesn't. And it's not that he doesn't have confidence in his ability, or just he looks at it as a slight that they will not commit to me. And he's pissed.
What I was going to say was, I mean, just think about it, if you're Tom Brady. You come off the Atlanta Super Bowl. I think he was Super Bowl MVP in that one. Let's just say he was. Doesn't get the contract extension. Then he comes back at age, whatever, 39, and he's the NFL MVP. And all he gets is incentives from the team.
That was great.
I mean, if you're Brady, you're like, oh, I'm the best player in the league. What else do I have to do? And so, you know, I think a lot of it started sort of there.
Okay, so Bedard is here talking about what happened the other night, the state of the offense, that bigger picture thing with Tom Brady. That's on the table as well. We'll do our 10 questions around the league at 5:35. We usually do that at 3:20, but Bedard had to roll back his tent today because of travel issues. All that comes your way right after these words.
Felger and Mazz.
I love it.
You were right, Mazz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Listening to Felger and Mazz.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5 Sports Hub.
You're in the final year of your contract. Is it going year to year a possibility, and are you comfortable with that?
I mean, we're all day to day if you think about it. I mean, none of us are really promised anything, so. I mean, I'm trying to do the best I can do today and, you know, just let those things sort themselves out.
Do you feel like you earned an extension, Tom?
Have I earned it? I don't know. You guys, that's up for talk show debate. What do you guys think? Should we take a poll?
Sure.
All right. Talk to Mr. Kraft. Come on. Mm-hmm. No, we like I said, we got a great relationship, so we'll see how it goes.
Let's wait in the off season. Go ask Mr. Kraft. Just kidding. But not really. All right, so back to your calls here with the big boy, Greg Bedard, Mike, Rhode Island. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, before I get to my point, I just want to ask, have you ever seen a quarterback show more disdain for his offense all year long? They're 10-2, and Brady is just walking around like he just smelled a skunk, okay? It's just brutal.
I mean, so what? He's a perfectionist. I mean, okay, what do you want? You that's what's made him great. Why, I mean, why do people care
that
he's had a pun on his face? I mean, the offense is stunk. I come on here and I say the offense is good. Well, they're 10-0. Like, what are you doing?
I'm just saying I've never seen a quarterback act like that before, but Mazz is saying blame the offensive coordinator. You know what I mean? They're blaming everybody except where the problem lies. He sounds like a basketball dad at a basketball game in high school. Brady, the emperor, has no clothes. This guy, if he was wearing any other jersey, you guys would be lighting him up. And I would hear, I'd hear Mazz going, he blows. He was 18 for 39 the other night before mop-up time, and they stopped playing defense. Okay.
So, yeah.
Brady, you guys haven't played a team this year. You played two teams, and you've gotten your hoodie turned inside out.
Okay, I don't need to go to that whole thing there.
And all this show does is rip them.
Yeah, I've tried to hold Brady accountable, so I don't know what you're talking about. I'm doing my best.
He must be pretty young because
Marino.
Hey, Dan's my guy. But boy, he used to rip people up and down
all the time. He was the biggest a-hole on the field.
Oh, my God.
But this is what Brady's doing. And to me, it's a little bit of the timing of it, too. It's if the game is lost or you're down and it's the second half and the guys aren't doing what you want and you know, and that the emotion gets a better of you, that's fine. But when you do it on the third flipping series and you're only down 7-3 and the only reason you're down 7-3 is because you threw a pick, it's like, come on, man. That's a little much. He deserves to be called out on that.
I mean,
I'm sorry. He
does. I agree that he should be called out on it, but I just don't think it's that big of a deal. I mean, look, Brady didn't cover himself in glory the other night. He had a bad night. He had a bad – I don't know what's behind it. Who knows? Could be a lot of different things. Could have been practice. They screwed up all during practice, or maybe they got it during practice, and all of a sudden they come to the games, and they're still screwing things up. I don't know, but – obviously, he's frustrated. Should he have been better about it the other night? Probably. But do I think it factored into them the loss? I don't think so.
So I just want a solution. Okay, that's why I bring up McDaniels. I've reached the point now, 13 weeks into the season, like all of a sudden what? Jacoby Myers is going to turn into Julian Edelman? It's just not going to happen. And they're playing the good teams now. It's like I don't need to see it against freaking Miami. I don't need to see it against Miami and Cincinnati.
So this whole narrative is that's what makes him great. I never felt that.
that he yelled at his receivers. That's what makes him great.
No, just being a perfectionist. That he's not satisfied. That he's whatever that game was where they ended up winning, and you're like, oh, he's got a puss on his face. Yeah, the offense sucked. I mean, what do you want? He's in charge of the offense. That's his unit.
Greg,
he would like to contribute some sort of way.
There were whole long stretches of the dynasty when they were winning championships where that's how they won.
Yeah, but that's...
And he never let look on his
face. It's a different time and era. He's a different quarterback.
Yeah, I like the old one. I like that
guy. That's fine. He was 25 back then.
Yeah, and that's something that I could relate to much better. That he was more concerned about the team than himself.
Yeah, and you were on boats and with certain people, too.
But I'm not wrong. I don't care what boat I was on. I'm not wrong. I mean, that previous Brady is much easier to like and to support. And also, oh, by the way, I don't think he became great because he yelled at his receivers. He became great because he's tough and he's smart and he dedicated and used to work harder than anybody else and all those qualities. It's not because he lambasted his receivers on the sidelines. How did that have anything to do with his success?
But you have to admit that we've never seen the offense like this. I mean, his stats, Boston Sports Inf had it the other day. This is the first time in Brady's career, 20-year career, where he's had a sub-100 passer rating in seven straight games. First time ever. So we've never seen the passing offense at this depth. I mean, I wasn't here for Jabbar Gaffney and those guys, so I don't know.
That one got better by as the year went along.
Yeah, I mean, but my feeling is this is the worst it has ever been. And so if Brady's acting out a little bit more, I understand it.
Dumb it down.
It's up there. It's never maybe it's not been this bad, but it's been bad.
Just dumb it down. I don't care what you have to do. Dumb it down.
Ari Manhattan, go. All right. Okay, babe, call us back. Tony and Stoneham. Go ahead, Tony.
Hey, how you doing? Listen, the problem here is this. You guys just don't understand. You're a hockey guy. Maz is a baseball guy.
I'm stupid.
But Dad's a football guy. You guys don't understand the sport. Brady has nothing to work with this year, okay? If he knows he cannot win a Super Bowl with the team the way it is, just the defense. And they gave him nothing, and these receivers that they have are doing nothing to learn the game. They're making too many mistakes out there, and he can't do it with them making these mistakes.
It's a good thing that Brady then shows up the first one in and the last one out. He's there in the offseason. Oh, that's right. He blows off the entire offseason, won't show up for passing camps, and is dicking around in the Mediterranean. Excuse me. I guess I can't say that.
Dinking around.
Is dinking around in the Mediterranean as opposed to working with these receivers. So good thing Brady's putting in all the work himself.
I think the biggest shot there was at Bedard. You're a hockey guy, I'm a baseball guy, Bedard's a football guy, and you don't know what the hell's going on.
I think he was talking to you two.
Steven Whitman. Go ahead, Steve.
It was like a Myers pass.
Hey, Mike.
There.
Yeah, Steve.
Mike,
yes.
You proposed a question.
Go ahead.
Is Brady just smarter than the rest of us? Wait, what is your favorite saying about smart people and geniuses?
Sometimes it walks alone, Steve.
Geniuses walk alone, buddy. Eat your own words, Salmon Shorts.
Salmon Shorts. Nantucket Red, Steve. Big difference. Nantucket Red.
But
they
I'll tell
salmon.
You what, I do think this is part of the problem. Greg, you've talked about this, that this, and Gasper's talked about it, this intelligence gap. Brady's in his 20th year running this offense, yep. So he's doing it at a certain speed because everything comes at a secondary level to him. It's automatic. And Myers doesn't know whether he's supposed to take 3 steps before he cuts or 2.5, right? So, he can't even think at the line of scrimmage for crying out loud, which is why I come back to the offensive coordinator. We can blame whoever we want. They're all worthy of blame. Brady is certainly worthy of blame, as are the receivers. So can somebody please take control of the offense, meaning the coordinator, and put in something that they can all get? Can we do that? You got 4 weeks. You just lost the number one seed. Okay, so I don't want to say it's too late because it's not. You can still get it back. But, how long are you going to wait?
Not a bad take for a baseball guy. Here comes Murray's update. There's been breaking news across the NFL today. A coach firing, rumor mongering with the Patriots. All of it comes your way here, this update with Murray, and then we do 10 questions around the NFL with the big boy. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app. You want the answer, you get to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, once again, it's a big boy Tuesday. Buddy's doing 4 to 6. He was delayed, Greg Bedard was, by travel. So we do 10 questions around the league. We usually do this at 3:20. Today we do it at the end of the show. So 10 questions around the league, 10 minutes to do it. We have to be on time, so Jimmy gives us buzzer options. What are they this week, James?
Hey, guys. You guys nailed everything.
I had a weird phone, for sure.
And I agree with Murray. It's on...
Yep, Max Headroom on line two. Go. Old washed up suck bag on the street. Hey, Max? No. Hard no. Hard no. Hard no. That clear? Next. No. No, 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 no. Is it no every time? No. It's always no.
Emphatic.
That was about Bradshaw.
Yeah, that is. Do you want Terry Bradshaw to do a phone interview with you?
Two more of these.
Okay, go. Hee-haw. Hee-haw over a bad phone. That's what it was.
My favorite of the bunch.
Go. Bad phone, grab ass. Bad phone, grab ass. Bad phone, let's grab ass. That's all it was. Okay, go ahead, hit it. No. Hard no. Hard no. Hard no. Number 10. Freddie Kitchens. Now, I can't. Freddie Kitchens, i.e. Freddie Kittens.
Meow.
Was photographed over the weekend wearing a... Pittsburgh started it t-shirt. Is this a big deal or not, Greg?
Yeah, he's being a jackass, sort of like Patricia wearing the Goodell clown nose t-shirt. I mean, you know, have some class. Act like you've been there before.
Absolutely, it's a big story. You got the coach of one of the teams sort of adding fuel to the fire. I think it's absolutely a significant story. It further emphasizes the fact that they have a landscaper coaching the team.
Yeah, it's indicative of how poorly run that team is. And then he wore that shirt and went out there and lost to a third-string quarterback in Duck Hodges. It was sweet karmic justice.
I got nothing against landscapers, by the way.
I was just going to say, that's an insult to landscapers, that buffoon. But I'll just say, another indication the guy doesn't get it. Of course it's a big deal. That's worse than the Goodell thing. I mean, someone actually almost got really hurt in that incident. Give me a break, of course. Yes, that is a big deal. Next.
Hey, guys, you guys nailed everything.
It's computer-generated caller. Number 9. Josh Shaw is a reserve defensive back for the Arizona Cardinals. He's been on IR all season and away from the team. He was suspended over the weekend for placing bets on NFL games. Is that a big deal or not?
Of course it is. You can't, especially with the Raiders going to Vegas, you cannot have players betting on the NFL. You just can't. And so you can't say, well, he wasn't active for the team or it was part of a three-team parlay, whatever. It doesn't matter. You have to draw a clear line. It cannot be done.
Absolutely a big story. No two ways about it. Players can't bet on games in any league, let alone their own and their own team. My favorite part of the story, just quickly, Murray, I heard this on the midday show, that when he filled out the application, asked for his profession, pro football player.
Yeah, he's an idiot.
What a jackass. And I mean, what a moron.
It should be a bigger story, and it is a big deal, but it should be a bigger story because he's only getting suspended for a year. If you're moving a team to Las Vegas, you need to suspend this guy forever. Like, it's a bad look in the league.
So I'm really serious about gambling. Like, I think Pete Rose should never be allowed into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Same with Joe Jackson, like all of it. I think it's the ultimate sin, and to me is a death sentence kind of thing. So I treat gambling really seriously. This one, however... I mean, suspend him for life. I'm fine with that. This is comical. He bet over the counter, if you will, not with the bookie in private, at Caesar's Palace, where he took out a marker or took out an account in which they ask you your profession. And as Maz pointed out, when they listed occupation, he wrote professional football player. Even though it's banned in his league and the casino doesn't allow you to, when they found out, they wouldn't take his bets anymore.
Yeah, he's an honest guy.
So he put down, like, and it was a three-team parlay, second half lines. And the Cardinals were up one of the bets. Though, you know, one of the ones that they caught him. But the dude put down professional football player in the occupation line.
Tony Maserati, 98.5 talk show host.
It's a little comical as much as anything. All right, next. Bad phone, grab ass. Bad phone, grab ass. Bad phone, let's grab ass. Number 8. I'd like your quarterback power rankings, please. Give me your top 5 right now.
Wilson, Mahomes, Jackson, Breeze, Rodgers. No Brady.
Maz.
Wilson, Jackson, Mahomes, Rodgers, and then I have Breeze, Brady tied.
So you have a Brady still in the top 5?
Tied with Breeze.
Tied 5?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because I think if Brady was in New Orleans, the Saints would be 10-2. Yeah.
Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers.
No Brady.
Nope.
Where's Brady?
Then I would go Breeze. Then I would go Prescott. Then I would go Tom Brady.
So you're going to get expelled from the Brady media cartel meetings.
I've already been kicked out by Gasper anyway.
Yeah.
Next. No, 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 no. Is it no every time? No. It's always no. The question was, should we have Terry Bradshaw for a phone interview? And I said yes. Number 7. Work with me now on a fantasy situation. Let's say Brady does retire. It's really not that much of a fantasy. Let's say Brady retires after this year. Let's say that Belichick does not want to go with Jared Stidham or a rookie that he just takes. He would like, preferably, a veteran quarterback currently in the league who could shake free next year, either in free agency or a trade. Give me a guy. Try and be realistic. We're not trading for Pat Mahomes, okay? Try and be realistic. Give me a veteran currently in the league who you think would be a good fit for the Patriots that they could get.
I don't like any of them. The guys are either free agents or Cam Newton will be available via trade with a new GM, new coach. But so I got to come down on Mariota just because he's younger, he's smart, he's had 5 different offensive coordinators. I think he has a chance to develop if he gets some consistency, but I'm not 100% on that either.
I hate Mariota, just saying.
Well, that's kind of aggressive.
So look, I went with, I did focus on free agents. That was a name I want to add to the list. Stafford, Breeze, Bridgewater. Kyle Allen is the guy I would add.
Allen's a free agent in Carolina?
Well, no, but if Carolina elects to keep Breeze, would there be any impetus to move Allen?
If Carolina keeps Breeze?
I'm sorry.
What? Newton.
If they keep Newton, would there be any impetus for them to move Kyle Allen? If you made them some good draft pick offer, would
they give me one guy.
Stafford.
And
I'd like to
see. You think that's realistic? You think Detroit's going to let him go?
There's a chance he's going to be a free agent.
Yeah.
No, I don't think the Patriots will pay him, but would I like to see Belichick work with Stafford? Yeah, I would.
I say trade a 4th-round draft pick to the Jacksonville Jaguars for Nick Foles and his giant meat sword. They'd have to eat $18.5 million of the money, and you'd be on the hook for about $15 million. Bring in BDN.
I never heard that one before. Excellent.
What's BDN? Oh, I get it.
Next.
And I agree with Murray. It's on.
The guy was hooked up to the something. Number 6. Give me your top 3 guys in the league who should retire. We've debated, should Brady retire? You know, give me 3 guys in the league who should retire.
Adrian Peterson.
Good one.
Give it up.
Good one.
Seriously. Philip Rivers. Eli.
Good one. Yeah. I went Roethlisberger, Flacco, Adrian Peterson.
Flacco, good one. I went Adam Vinatieri, Eli Manning, and Sean Lee, the linebacker of the Cowboys, who's just cooked.
So I had Flacco and Adam. I mean, I stopped there. But Flacco, definitely. Dude, please. I can't watch you anymore. But please, get off my television. Next.
Hee-haw. Hee-haw over a bad phone.
Tool bag time. Give me the biggest tool bag Kansas City Chief of all time, please.
Running back Larry Johnson. Just a total scumbag.
Really?
Oh, he got arrested for beating women.
He also, I didn't realize this, but he sent out a tweet about Todd Haley. I think when he was being coached by Todd Haley, that he said, my father played for the coach from Remember the Titans. Our coach played golf. My father played for the Redskins briefly. Our coach, nothing.
Travis Kelce, tool. Epic tool bag, Kelce.
I go with Elvis Gerback, who was just awful and should not have started that divisional game over Rich Gannon in 1997. I'm still mad about it.
But you don't know if he was a tool bag or not.
He was. He was way too overconfident. He sucked. And that name, get out of here.
Next.
Hey, guys. You guys nailed everything.
Number four. Who's the most overrated coach in the league?
Doug Peterson. It was Frank Reich. Was the architect behind that offense. Doug just looks like a doofus and a visor right now.
I had two guys listed. One was Peterson because I knew someone else was going to pick him. So my other one, McVay. I think McVay has got fraud written all over him.
I'm with Greg on this. It's Peterson. It's becoming more apparent by the week that Super Bowl run was more about Frank Reich.
Too bad. Next. Bad phone, grab ass. Bad phone, grab ass. Bad phone, let's grab ass. Number three. Updated NFL power rankings, please. 1 to 5.
Ravens, 49ers, Saints, Patriots barely over the Texans.
Ooh, I went Ravens, Saints, Niners, Patriots, Seahawks.
Ravens, Seahawks, Niners, Saints, Patriots.
Oh, you let them in the top five, Murray.
Yeah, they should be. They should be fifth in the top five.
Okay. Give me your top four again, please, now.
Baltimore, Seattle, San Francisco, New Orleans.
Okay. There was a time he told us there were only three teams in the league worth watching. It was Kansas City, Dallas, and New England.
Yes, correct.
So two of the three.
It's
a
fluid list.
No, it is fluid. Okay.
He did write off Philly a long time ago, too.
No, one game.
Yeah.
Oh, I was 100% right about them.
But, you know, give him credit. He was right.
Yeah, he was.
He actually nailed that. Next.
No. No. Is it no every time? No. It's always no.
Number two. Who is the biggest current draft bust playing in the NFL today? When I say playing, he has to be on a roster. So he has to be in the NFL. Who's been the biggest draft bust that's still in the league?
RG3.
So he was on my list. He's still in the league.
Second overall pick, was MVP, rookie of the year,
okay,
over Andrew Luck, and was only a starter for two seasons.
But he was rookie of the year. Who would you put?
Marcus Mariota. I went with Mariota. I'm sorry. You know, at least in the case of RG3, there was some injury there. In the case of Mariota, he just sucks. And he's your next quarterback, Greg. How do you like that?
Murray?
I saw him Sunday night, and I was offended. Barkevious Mingo, the sixth overall pick in 2013. And look at that. That's a bad draft anyway. He was drafted to be a pass rusher. He's now on his fifth team as roster filler. Barkevious Mingo stinks.
Good one. I went, and this is personally damaging, but what can I say? Paxton Lynch. Okay, at least RG3 was a rookie of the year and won some games. At least Mitch Trubisky was a quarterback on a playoff team. Marcus Mariota quarterbacked his team into the playoffs. Jameis Winston would be on this list. Is a starter in the league, will be a starter in the league. Josh Rosen is, I think, on this list, but too early to tell. Paxton Lynch, he was 26 overall, so it's not like it was way high up in the first round. I didn't realize he was still in the league. Do you understand he's backing up in Pittsburgh right now?
He's in Pittsburgh?
He's in Pittsburgh, and he can't beat out what's-their-faces, Duck Dynasty, and the other guy. Think of that. First-round pick, and that was John Elway's future at quarterback.
Oh, I thought he was still in Denver.
No.
I thought he was in Seattle.
No, he's in Pittsburgh. Paxton Lynch is your answer. Next.
And I agree with Murray. It's on.
Final question.
I love that.
Give me the most important game left on the NFL schedule. Whole league. Give me a game.
Week 16, Buffalo at New England.
Oh, why? You think the division's in play?
I'm just saying. I mean, I'm just saying a lot of things could be in play there. I mean, you're talking about the division,
seeding,
the dynasty, Brady's future, everything. Just because that other stuff is there. Now, yeah. Do I think the Patriots are going to lose? No, I don't.
But
if it happens, you're talking franchise-changing game.
Next. I mean, nice. Go ahead. Next.
Week 17, San Francisco at Seattle. One of those teams, the loser of that game, is going to have to play the next weekend.
They're the 5 seed.
Yeah.
I mean, really. The NFC West is decided that day.
Last night, San Fran went from the 1 seed of the whole league to the 5 seed. They're traveling on wild card weekend.
Overnight.
Yep.
But they have a chance to win it back. if they play it out and they beat Seattle in the final weekend, I think they can still be the number one seed.
Same answer as Maz. And that first game that they played was awesome. It went into overtime. You had missed kicks. It was crazy. That's the game.
San Fran's got a couple. San Fran at New Orleans. I think it's this week.
It is this week.
San Fran, Seattle's huge. There's a Green Bay, Minnesota game in week 16. That's going to determine whether one of those teams could 2 or the 6 or the 5. You know what I mean? And I think it's the 2 or the 6 or the 3 or the 6. So that's a big one. So there's a couple of them. I like Greg's answer, though. Maybe the only thing that I like that he said all day.
Maybe all year.
Better late than never, big boy.
Final
word comes your way next.
Bad phone, grab ass. Bad phone, grab ass. Bad phone, let's grab ass.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
No.
Nobody.
Nobody, no.
Well, we still have Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal in here with us. So let's go back and relive some of the fireworks between Bedard and Felger arguing about Tom Brady.
That it's Brady's attitude. Basically what you said was it's Brady's attitude that's holding this team back. That it's his attitude is the problem with this offense.
No.
I said no. In that
that's
case.
That's not what I said, Greg. Yeah, it is what it, no, it's not. I said it's not. Is it helping? Is it helping?
Oh, no, yeah, I forgot. You kept qualifying, saying, like,
is it helping?
I'm not blaming Brady.
Is it helping?
But you ripped him all day during the show.
Oh, my God, this is, you have become a Brady cartel member.
I'm not. I just.
Has it helped? Have they gotten better? So has his attitude helped?
I don't know. No.
Okay, so that's all I said.
Yeah. But you blame Brady, his attitude, has for everything yesterday.
Has it helped?
No. You didn't say it was a contributing factor. You spent 4 hours ripping Brady's attitude, saying that it's the problem with this offense. That's what you said. And you know what my answer
it's
to that
not
is?
What I said.
If it is, if his attitude.
But that
if
is
he's
classic.
Boy,
you saw all these baby callers. You spent 4 hours yesterday blaming
Brady.
Well,
I mean, that's
has
just a
his
fact.
Attitude,
I listened to the whole show.
Has his attitude helped? That's all. That
I don't know.
Has it?
I haven't seen him at practice.
So, wait, has the offense gotten better?
No.
So, has his attitude helped?
Have the receivers gotten better?
Has his
Are
attitude
they running better routes?
Helped. And it clearly hasn't.
No, it hasn't.
Should have left that big boy puppet in here so the Brady puppet could give it a hug again.
Exactly.
Where's the Stidham stuff? Where's Stidham? I want Stidham.
Tom, during the game, you were caught on camera giving words of encouragement to the collection of suck you're surrounded by in the offense. The blame and shame media wants to paint you as the bad guy, saying you lack leadership and grace. How's that make you feel, Tom?
Not too good.
And we also had this today. Bill Belichick doing his phone press conference, right, that he does once a week?
Oh, yeah. So listen, thank you, Jimmy, for doing this. Remember last year we compared and contrasted Bill's conference call to Josh McDaniels' conference call?
Yeah.
Where, you know, Bill was a fart, snort, you know, snot rocket, you know, mumble some answer. And then McDaniels gets on the conference call and it's like it's, hey, Mike, thanks, Mike. How you doing? Yeah, no. Nice to see you. Good morning. Thanks for the answer. No problem. How you doing? You know, it was like that. So I listened to the Bill Belichick conference call this morning. Guess who's gotten some manners?
Bill.
Yeah, listen
to this.
He calls
people by name now.
Here, listen to this.
I appreciate it, Bill. Thank you. Sure, Mike.
My next question, Nick O'Malley, followed by Mike Reese.
Morning, Bill.
Hey, Nick.
What?
Sorry for the long answer.
No worries. It's very broad, but I address it in general. Thanks, Bill.
Yep, you're welcome.
Thanks, Bill.
You're welcome.
Next question, Karen Grigio, followed by Mike Petraglia.
Good morning, Bill. Okay, thank you, Bill.
Thanks, everyone.
Okay, yeah, you're welcome.
So, I mean, it's not quite as effusive, but there were a few, hey, how you doing? Thank you, you're welcome, which I wasn't expecting.
I don't think I've ever heard him say you're welcome. I'm not joking. Like at the end of interviews all the time. All right, thanks.
Sorry for the long answer. You ever hear something like that?
Oh, someone must have asked him about the, you know, the overloaded right side on the kick formation.
Carl Banks in 1986. Talk your face off. All right, Big Boy, thanks for coming in late. We appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for hanging with me.
In all seriousness, Herculean effort. Good job.
Yeah, thanks.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.